Well, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 this morning. The fast food industry, and all of us, I think, owe a lot to a man named Robert Oscar Peterson. Oh, you know him, I'm sure. In 1941, he opened a drive-in restaurant called Topsy's at 6270 El Cajon Boulevard in San Diego. You pulled in and kind of like, maybe like Sonic, but without the microphones and everything. He pulled in and a car hop came to you, you know, maybe rolling on roller skates and kind of like in Happy Days, and they took your order. About 1951, this Robert Oscar Peterson opened these Topsy's restaurants, drive-in restaurants. He also had a group of restaurants he called Oscars after himself. But in 1951, he changed the whole concept. He went back to that original location there in San Diego, and he opened what would come to be known as Jack in the Box, first Jack in the Box restaurant there in San Diego. He changed it from being a drive-in restaurant to being a drive-through restaurant. You could go inside and eat, of course, but we know the concept. It was drive-through, and he set up a two-way intercom system, the first of its kind in our nation. Well, he actually got the idea from one restaurant in Anchorage, Alaska, but he bought the idea from that guy, and he opened in San Diego. And at first, however, people didn't understand, what do I do, So he put up a sign that said, pull forward, and there's a clown's head that you spoke into. It says, pull forward, and Jack will speak to you. So evidently, everybody got the idea because the drive-in restaurant caught on, didn't it? And we all know what that's about. What I'm very thankful for is that they've improved the intercom system. However, it's not anymore rah, rah, rah. And, somehow they got what you said, but I can never understand what they were saying, And they would repeat, rah, 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 rah. Is your order correct? I said, I don't know. But we pull up to a menu and we order what we want, and then we pull up and it magically appears in the window the food that we have ordered. Back in 1974, Burger King initiated their famous Have It Your Way campaign. Have it your way at Burger King. Have it your way. You thought we had special music already. At Burger King.
It's a high note.
Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special orders won't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. And then goes on, have it your way. All together now. Well, the jingle was perfect for the me generation that we want things the way we want them. Have it your way, right away, at Burger King. But this morning, as we look at prayer, we must approach prayer from a different perspective. It's not have it my way, but we want to have it your way, Lord, in our lives. And we'll be looking at that phrase in Matthew 6, verse 10, as Jesus' disciples were really, they noticed that Jesus was always praying. In Luke chapter 11, they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus gave them this model prayer we come to know as the Lord's Prayer. And it is a powerful prayer. He started off, as we saw last week, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then our phrase today we're going to look at, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I went to Southwest Baptist University, that great university where Sarah goes, at the convocation, at the first chapel, that was kind of like their theme song back then. I don't know if they still do that at all, but they would have this lady, or they would have the choir or the orchestra play, Our Father. Man, that is a beautiful song. And at graduation, they would sing the Lord's Prayer. You know, a lot of churches, every Sunday, they recite together this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, we don't do that here because I don't want to become like a meaningless repetition, because it is a powerful prayer. Now, you can pray this prayer from the heart.
That's right.
And there's nothing wrong with it. If we said it every Sunday from the heart, that's great. But it is an amazing prayer. You know, I was talking downstairs with Josh during before Sunday school about how powerful this prayer is. It is amazing. And that whatever Jesus says and teaches, folks, you can't find this anywhere else.
Amen.
The power of this prayer, as an example, is amazing. It's extremely powerful and transformational. I you know, sometimes we call it the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, but I found one person that called it the disciples' prayer. Somebody's going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. This prayer, if you will look at what Jesus was teaching in this simple prayer, that's not so simple, but it's powerful. When you apply, like we looked at last week, what it means for God to be your Father, our Father in heaven, and that you said His name is holy in your life, unlike any other. And then today, when you apply this next phrase, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when we pray, we are praying for God's kingdom to come. Now, here in America, a while ago, we were praying about the change in administrations and the different representatives and all the stuff there. Here in America, we are used to the democracy, our republic, where majority rules. You know, 51 votes beats 50 votes in the U.S. Senate. Where majority rules, but in prayer, and it, the reality in this universe is that it's not, it is really, when it comes to majority, it's a majority of one. Prayer recognizes a majority of one. The only one that matters. God is King. Amen. Amen. And when we pray, we are recognizing that He is King. Now, when Jesus came to earth, and you look at these four Gospels, these four different books in the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at what Jesus talked about, 86 times He refers directly to, He mentions the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about this kingdom all the time. When John the Baptist came preparing the way for Jesus, he announced this: repent, which means change your mind. Get right with God. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what was he talking about? He was saying, Jesus, the King, is here. He is coming. When Jesus came, there in Matthew 4:17, Jesus preached the same thing: repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, when Jesus often told stories or parables to help people understand His teaching illustrations, He would say this: the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. A woman had 10 coins and she lost one. And she swept through the house searching until she found the one coin and she rejoiced. Or the man had the kingdom of heaven is like a man who had 100 sheep, but one of them was lost. And he left the 99 to go find the one. Because people are so important to God that he searches for them. And talk, you know, all these parables, he said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Of course, when you start talking about kingdom, we think about an earthly kingdom. And that's what Jesus' followers thought was going on. You know, Jesus talking about kingdom, they want to know, are you at this time going to set up your kingdom here on earth? Are you going to throw out the Romans? Are you going to set up an earthly kingdom? And Jesus in Luke 17 says, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. What was he talking about? Jesus Christ, the King. It's about him. Now, throughout human history, there have been several earthly kingdoms that have come and have gone or are no more. These are earthly kingdoms. But as you look at the life of Jesus Christ, the King, you have to understand what is the nature of his kingdom. Pilate, when Jesus was on trial, you know, because the Jewish leaders brought Jesus before Pilate, and they said, this man is claiming to be the king. And so Pilate interviewed him, and he plied him with many different questions. And Herod, you know, had made fun of Jesus, putting a crown of thorns on his head and a robe on his back, and having the soldiers beat him on the head and saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And Pilate is really wondering, are you the king or not? John 18:36, Jesus replied, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, and now my kingdom is from another place. Jesus wasn't just coming to set up another earthly kingdom, to be another Caesar or another Pharaoh or another whatever. He was coming to set up an eternal kingdom. And the truth is, one day, Jesus will sit on David's throne in Jerusalem, and he will reign here on earth, but he will reign eternally in heaven as well.
Amen.
There is going to be, he is returning to earth. He's coming, the king is coming again. But he's not coming to set up just another and a long string of earthly kingdoms. He's coming to set up an eternal kingdom where all other kingdoms will be done away with forever, and he'll reign forever and ever. Now, above Jesus' head on the cross, what was the sign? What did it say? This is Jesus, who?
The King
of the Jews. He is King. See, we're praying, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. But what is that kingdom? What is it all about? Because as you're praying, you know, as many people do every Sunday, they say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or they sing that song, but what are we praying for? And what difference does it make? We are praying for a kingdom to come. Jesus spoke of it continually. In fact, after he rose from the dead, in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, you know what Jesus spoke about the most during those 40 days before he ascended to heaven? It says he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And his disciples were still wondering, when is it going to appear here on earth? Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. You keep on telling the good news until I come again. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, when we speak about the kingdom of God, a lot of people in time, you know, we have a vision of thorn. This morning before church began, Josh Gray, I went out back, and you know the Thornberry Castle shield, coat of armor. I found it. It was in the backyard, laying on the ground. I picked it up gingerly because it's falling apart from all the moisture. I threw it in the trash can. Sorry. that was awesome. I'm still in awe. The guys did a great job with the backdrop. But a lot of times we think about a kingdom as a castle, and we think about things here on earth, and we think about the king's, all the pomp and circumstance there in England and her royal majesty, and who's going to be the next king. We think of things here on earth, but when Jesus Christ was talking about the king, he was talking about an eternal kingdom where all these kingdoms of this world are going to come in, and there'll be no more United States of America. As much as I am patriotic and I love our country, one day the United States of America will be no more. Because we have a greater kingdom that is coming. Amen. Amen. Now, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about somebody ruling. Somebody who has authority. We elect a governor, we elect a mayor, we elect whomever, the dog catcher. They are given authority over certain things. But we are talking about someone who has authority over everything. And nothing happens, he will have authority, he will rule over everything. And a lot of times we think about a kingdom as territory, that extends to this sea or this river or whatever, but the territory that we're talking about is the human heart. And we are praying that he will reign over every human heart and in every human heart. We are praying, your kingdom come. Now that preface, or that pronoun, your, that's a possessive pronoun, I believe. Who is he talking about when Jesus says, your kingdom come? What does that your mean? Is it talking about my kingdom? That's the way we pray a lot of times. We're praying like we're at the drive-thru window and we're placing order. Lord, this is what I want done. That's where you're the king. You sit on the king, the throne of your heart. But that's not who your refers to. It means God is king.
Amen.
Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Now, what does it mean for his kingdom to come? We are praying for whatever the king wants to happen. We are praying that God will rule over all. That Jesus Christ will rule over everyone, everywhere, in every heart. And how does God's kingdom come? Well, it comes one through conversion. Through a person giving their heart to Christ and saying, Lord, I want you to be king of my heart. Your kingdom come means if you're going to pray that, then you're saying, I want Jesus to be king in my heart and to rule over my heart and life. So when you say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, you're saying, Lord, I want you to be king in and over my heart. Mm-hmm. So when you pray your kingdom come, you're talking about I'm changing, I'm converting to me being, from me being the king and on the throne, if there were a throne inside of my heart, I am taking myself off of the throne and saying, I want you to be king in my heart. You are king. You are victorious. I am giving you the throne of my heart. Your kingdom come. But if you're saying, you're praying this prayer, your kingdom come, you're also making a commitment. You're not only converting your heart and life to saying, I'm getting off the throne, I want you to be on the throne of my heart. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I'm committing to you as king. Now, we've seen on the TV the past week, they've been trying to interview all the candidates for the president's cabinet, right? The secretaries of whatever, And there's all these men and women that are interviewing. But when that person is selected and they are confirmed, whatever, and they're serving the president, I often hear people say that are in these positions on the cabinet. They say, "Well, I serve at the pleasure of the president." And they are recognizing they are not acting under their own authority, but they are acting under the authority of the one to whom they serve. They are committed to that person. And when we say, "Your kingdom come," we are saying, "Lord, I am committing my life to being part of your kingdom. You are my king. I give my heart to you, Lord. I crown you my king. You are my king. And I commit everything to your kingdom." When we say, "Your kingdom come," we are also praying for others to be converted, for others to recognize Christ as king. Because we want people everywhere to discover the victory through Christ being king of their heart. We are praying for evangelistically. We are praying that others will come to know Christ as their king and to know the victory that he can give. But we're also praying for his kingdom to be established. Have you ever heard that phrase? "I'm going to blow this, I'm going to blow something to kingdom come." You ever wonder where that phrase comes from? Well, they took that from the Lord's Prayer. Some genius way back when, they talk about blowing something to kingdom come, they're talking about the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Blowing something to smithereens. They're talking about the end of days. We pray, "Lord, your kingdom come." We are praying that Satan will be conquered, that evil will be done away with, and that Christ will reign supremely. Philippians chapter 2 says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, that means King, is Lord over all. Mm-hmm. Yes. We are praying that one day all evil will be done away with. One day there'll be no more war. One day there'll be no more sickness. Christ King, when he sets up his eternal kingdom, he will reign supremely and all evil will be conquered. I pray, "Lord, your kingdom come." One day there'll be an end to all suffering. Yep. Christ will reign supremely when he comes again. But the question this morning, if you pray, "Lord, your kingdom come," the first question is, do I recognize Christ as King in my heart? Are you praying for what the King wants done? Do you submit your life to his command? That's what we are praying for, the kingdom of God to come. Are we praying that everyone, everywhere will submit themselves to Christ being the King of their life? The next phrase is, not only your kingdom come, we pray your will be done. Now let me ask you this morning, are you praying for what you want or for what God wants? Now, one of the things, when I was thinking about this prayer, "Lord, your will be done." Mm-hmm. "Lord, I want what you want." Is that kind of scary? When you think about it this morning, are you willing to say this, "Lord, I want what you want in my life. I want what you want in my life." Or do you pray, "Lord, this is what I want. I'm kind of wanting this, and this is kind of how I see things. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that." And aren't our prayers a lot of the times based upon what I want instead of what the Lord wants? This prayer says, Jesus said, this is the way you should pray. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done." Lord, what you want. It's not what I want. Now, you said, well, what about what I want? What will happen there? You know, the Lord knows what you really need mm-hmm. more than you know what you need.
That's right.
Last week we looked at that verse 8 that says, the Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. And the truth is, the Father knows what you need even before you know what you need. And you might think you know what you need, like that bright, shiny, red GMC 2017. Let's make it a crew cab this time. Four-wheel drive, because it's going to be icy. But God knows what I really need. He knows what I need. You know, a lot of times we make prayer like a request line. Lord, I want this, I want that. And we're sitting at the drive-through window of life, and we hope that God gets our order right this time.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I ask for curly fries, not regular fries. I ask for this, and God, you gave me that. Now, what's up with this? And the truth is, a lot of times we don't get our order right because we are wanting what we want, and we don't even pray submitting ourselves to what God wants. And we're unhappy because we're trying to order life our way instead of saying, Lord, I want things your way. This Jesus said, pray your will be done. Again, who's your? Not me, but God's. Your will be done. Prayer is lining up what God wants. Prayer is lining up what God wants and what we want. What we want with what God wants. There's a verse, I think it's in Psalm 37, says, delight yourself in the Lord, and then He will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying, tell God your desires of your heart, He'll give you whatever you want. It says, delight yourself in what God wants, and then He will give you the desires of your heart. Find out what God wants. Well, what if what God wants isn't what I want? The thing is, I'm not talking to just you, I'm talking to me, is that I have to come to the point where I realize that what God wants is what is the very, 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 very best. You know, if you recognize God's my Father and I'm His son or daughter, don't you think that God wants the very, 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 very best for His son or daughter?
Yep.
Now, the thing is, the Heavenly Father truly knows what's best. And what He has for me and what He wants for my life is the very best. We think we know what's best, but we need to want what He wants.
Amen.
And we need to delight yourself. Well, what happened to that thing that says, starlight, star bright, give me what I wish tonight thing, you know? Well, that's the German folklore had this thing that they believe that the gods, or this is actually not the Germans, the ancient Greeks believed that whenever you saw a shooting star, the gods had kind of turned around and were looking down at Earth, and they knocked the star, and that was the star shooting. They bumped shooting through the sky, and they thought, well, while the gods are looking down here on Earth, I better let them know what I want. And that's the start. They turn around and the star went shooting. Hey, God's looking down at me. Better make a wish. That's not the way. That's not my God. My God knows all about me. I don't have to say, hey, God, I'm down here. God knows about me. A shooting star, I don't know why the shooting star, that's a meteor going through this sky, isn't it? Or the ancient Germans, I'll get this right. They believed that the gods inhabited the wells or fountains, and so they would go to the well and they would throw in an offering to the gods, and make their wish, the wishing well. If I don't have to stare down at a hole in the ground and hope and throw God some money and hope that it winds up heads up, and then that means He'll grant my wish. That's not my God. No, my God knows all my needs. He knows, He has a plan for my life, as we looked at this morning in Jeremiah 1:4. He has a plan. He has a purpose. This isn't, you know, just a fly-by-night God that I worship. He has a perfect plan. And when I want what He wants, and when I pray, Your will be done, I can be confident that what I want, what He wants, and when I want what He wants, it's the very best. It's power of a powerful plan. Amen?
Right.
You know, or what's the deal about blowing, you know, when you blow out, does anybody have a birthday coming up here? I know Pat has a birthday coming up next month. I know Rebecca and Rachel have a birthday coming up. Somebody saw Larry Bendix turn 70 this past week, Friday. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you blow out the birthday candles, why are you supposed to make a wish? Because they believe, the ancient whomevers believe, that when the smoke of a candle representing the light of life was blown out, that smoke rose up to heaven, and you might as well make your wish while that smoke's going up, and maybe God will hear your wish. Baloney. I still make your wish, whatever. It's just whatever. I'm not. Whatever. But that is just folklore. There's nothing to that. Pray for what God wants. Your will be done in my heart and life. Lord, and Jesus is a perfect example. The night before he knew he was going to die on the cross, the next day he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me, yet not what I want, but what You want. I'm so thankful that God prayed, that Jesus prayed for what God wanted, the Heavenly Father, because if He had not done that, if He had not submitted Himself, folks, we wouldn't be here today. We need to pray and embrace God's will for our lives as the very best. And, you know, Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me and my word dwells or remains in you, ask whatever you wish will be given to you. When you're taking in God's word into your heart and life and wanting what God wants, you can know this, God will do what He wants to do in and through your life. Prayer lines our will up with God's will. And wanting what God wants. Now this very last phrase here, and this everything, I mean, this is a powerful prayer. This is not just some meaningless repetition. You know, say it so many times, say our Father so many times, and you'll get what you want, like a magical formula. It's a powerful prayer. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to tell you, in heaven, God sits on His throne. He's King in heaven. Mm-hmm. Right now, if we were in heaven, we would see the four living creatures bowing down and the 24 elders throwing down their crowns and the four living creatures saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is. And it is to come, the whole earth is full of His glory. We would see that God is on His throne.
Amen.
He is King. And when the Lord says something there in heaven, and when He speaks there in heaven, His will, when He speaks, let there be light, what happens immediately? There's light. When God expresses His will, He speaks it, it happens. That's the way it is in heaven. And when old Zechariah, we looked at last month, when he heard his wife Elizabeth was going to have a baby, he said, well, how can, you know, that's impossible, we're both too old. He said, oh, I come from the very presence of God, Gabriel says. Because you didn't believe it, you're not going to be able to talk about it until the baby's born. When Mary said, how can this be since I'm a virgin? You know, I'm going to give birth to it. I don't even know a man. You know, I haven't had that that intimate relationship. And Gabriel, again, the angel, standing there, he says, even Elizabeth, your cousin, is going to, who is too old to have a child. She's going to have a child. For nothing that God says is impossible.
Amen.
Whenever God wills it to happen, He says it's going to happen. Guess what? It happens. Mm-hmm. We pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now in heaven it happens immediately, and when God does something here on earth, it's going to happen. But He doesn't force His will upon individuals' hearts and lives. The Bible says, 2 Peter 3:9, He's not willing that God's will is that He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to repent and come to eternal life. But He doesn't force that will. He doesn't force people to accept His will personally. God is patient. God's will here on earth is that people be saved. And that's what He wants. He wants people everywhere. Everybody in Auburn. Everybody in your class at school. To come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He wants everybody at your workplace to call upon Jesus as Lord. But He's not going to force that. But He is working powerfully. That's His will. And He is patient. But guess what? One day, as we pray for God's kingdom to come here on earth, Jesus Christ, the King, is going to return. And His kingdom will be established here on earth, just as it is in heaven. And then it will be too late. As we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One day, Christ will come again, and all evil and suffering will be done away with. Death will be done away with forever. Death and the grave will be cast in the lake of fire. When Christ comes again, sin will totally be done away with. Opposition will be done away with. And He will reign supremely. He's going to unite all things. You know, we talk about, can't the world be one? The world as it stands cannot be one. Can't we all get together and we all sing Kumbaya and everybody be on the same page? Not without Jesus Christ. Now, there's going to become a world leader who's going to try to establish a fake world government that will last just a very short time. And at that time, you will either have to choose, you're going to serve Christ as king, or the world government, world leader's king. But when Jesus comes again, He will establish His kingdom, and it will last forever. Now the question is, as you pray, you have to make it personal. As you voice this prayer this morning, Lord, Your will be done here on earth. You're trusting God to take care of your life. That He is King. He knows what He's doing. You know, a lot of times as we pray, we have a lot of worries and anxieties. And the Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And guard your heart and mind Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything, but trust in Him. And Jesus, in Matthew 6, He was saying, you guys worry about a lot of things, what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. He said, don't be like that. Instead, do this. Seek first what? The kingdom of God. And what He says is right. And His righteousness, a right relationship with God, where He's King of your heart and life, and all these other things will be added to you as well. You don't need to worry about it. You see, prayer is when you say, let your kingdom come, your will be done, is putting your faith that He is the King. And you're putting all your trust in Him. And what His will is best, and He will do it. It comes to a point of surrender. It comes to a point of saying, Lord, I surrender all to You. Your will be done. your kingdom. Well, I've got all these plans. I got this thing going and that thing going and this going and that and this and that. And most, oh, you know, I just don't have any time for what God wants. Hey, if you don't have time for what God wants, then you're running out of time real quick.
That's right.
You make your life about what God wants, and it'll blow your socks off. I surrender all. Is that your heart cry this morning? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, come saying, I surrender all. If you're a Christian like I am, a follower of Christ, but you've been following your own agenda, and you need to renew your commitment and say, Lord, I surrender all. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Would you come as we stand and sing our closing song, I surrender all.